Pledge. There are no fees, and you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Just for our listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/McKernan. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/McKernan. Subject credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/McKernan for more information.
Every great success story starts with one brave decision. And if you're one of the millions of Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
With standards of personalized service unmatched in the area and a highly trained staff, the Gatesworth has been designed to provide the most exceptional environment possible. Centrally located just minutes from everything downtown Clayton offers, the Gatesworth features three different restaurants headed by an award-winning chef, weekly musical performances and lectures, a spa, a movie theater, and even a putting green. The Gatesworth, striving to make the lives of residents more convenient, enjoyable, and vibrant. Visit thegatesworth.com for more information. At Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway, our mission is to provide our fans, racers, and sponsors with a first-class and up-close personal racing experience. This includes unprecedented access to the drag strip, the oval, the road racing track, and a nationally sanctioned karting track, plus special events such as concerts and corporate functions for year-round activities. And it's all just 5 minutes from downtown. For more information, visit WWTRaceway.com or call 618-215-8888.
No longer are your only options for at-home libations a boring beer or just another glass of wine. Now, you can get home-brewed premium cocktails with variety, convenience, and quality with the DrinkWorks Drink Maker. I cannot get enough of the cold, crisp, old-fashioned. It is delicious, and I don't have to fork over a 24. This brand-new machine is already a great deal, but they have a deal for our listeners. An exclusive offer, because I love it, and I know you will too. Already have an early bird discount of $100. Just for our listeners, take another $50 off for a total savings of $150. This offer is going away very soon. Don't wait. The only way to get this amazing drink maker with exclusive savings plus free shipping, go to drinkworks.com. Use my code TIM50 at checkout to save over $150 and get free shipping. Don't wait. This amazing offer won't last, and it's only for our listeners. That's drinkworks.com, and use the code TIM50 at checkout. And remember, please enjoy responsibly.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA.
He's been away from these airwaves much too long, but he's back today. Folks, say hello to... I've never met every Chevy dealer in the country, so I can't say, you know, conclusively with certainty that he is the greatest Chevrolet dealer. But I think in this part of the country, anybody who has done business with Johnny Landoff Chevrolet will say, yeah, this part of the country, you bet. Say hello to Johnny Landoff, everybody.
Buddy,
I'm terrific, and I'm really good. And you and I had a really nice chat earlier today. And I would like to start the segment with two things. One, congratulations to the Corvette Motor Trends Car of the Year, the 2020 Corvette. Ah.
Unbelievable.
Rave reviews, yeah. And I'm trying to figure out a way to justify, if there's even one not spoken for, the convertible version of that car, but that we'll talk about later. The other thing that I would like for you, and I asked you earlier if you'd share this with the audience, and you were reluctant to do it, it's a great story, and I think you have to tell it, and I'm not even sure, oh, I know how it came up. I told you that you and Mimi need to go see Ford versus Ferrari, and you said it's already on your list of things to do, and I think you're going to really like it, and she will too. And then that led us to you telling me the story about, at one time, and I didn't know this, you actually raced drag racing Not down on the back alley, but on a drag strip. Would you tell that? So it's a great story because your dad didn't know you were doing it and certainly didn't know you were doing it with one of the dealer Corvettes that you took the dealer plates off of.
Well, you're going to tell the whole story? Do I get to tell it? First of all, you're like, you got to tell a story. I'm like, I don't really know if I want to tell this story.
Well, now you have to.
It took me almost 20 years to get the guts to tell my dad. I'm probably a junior at Lutheran North, and some of my buddies I hung around with, we were gearheads. How could I not be? I grew up in a car dealership, and I think we'd go to Brian Nagel's dad's shop, and any of these guys would put slicks on their cars, and I just would take the stock Corvette demo that I had, I'd take the D tag off, and I raced under the name Johnny Johnson, and
now, let's just stop right there, folks. His racing name was Johnny Johnson because he didn't want him to know who he was because he might tell his daddy he was using one of the dealership Corvettes.
The keyboard player?
Yeah. Johnny Johnson.
Johnny Johnson. It was just, they were always an automatic. So, he'd never let me get a stick back then, standard. My dad would say, they spent a lot of money to come up with the technology to get rid of that third pedal. Why the hell do you always have to drive a stick? I'm like, because it's a performance car. It's a Corvette. Or when I was driving IROC Camaros. And if there are any police officers out there listening, I love you all. It is my heart and soul is always with law enforcement and first responders. But I used to be a speed demon. I couldn't help myself. I used to even tell my dad, I'm like, I'd like to race cars. I think I'm a pretty good driver. And he'd just shake his head and look at me like I was an idiot, okay? But he didn't know about going to, St. Louis International in on Friday nights. It was,
The place where they used to run the commercials where they'd say, Sunday? That was Gateway. What was that, Dan?
Gateway International. Gateway International Raceway.
Yeah.
St. Louis International. And I mean, now it's, worldwide technology raceway, and the WWT folks are the naming rights from Curtis Francois. How about that name? Great guy. Was a St. Louis guy, a race car driver as a young man, and still to this day, I'm sure he can get around that track pretty quickly. And so then, Frank, you and I were talking about this summer, going out there, or this spring, and spending an afternoon out there, we can't take any of the stock Chevys any longer, but we can take, I'm sure that they have some vehicles that we can pay for to drive, or maybe, whatever. We'll spend the day.
Frank has one.
That's fun.
I do? What is it?
You not have a vet?
Oh, no. I sold White Lightning.
Oh.
I sold White Lightning a while back. Yeah. I may have to buy this new convertible to take it over there and race it. This is my excuse to buy it. So you did this, what year, John? What year would this be? What year were you drag racing over there? About?
74, 75, and 76. Probably 74.
And you were 17?
16.
Yeah. And did you ever win?
I won a couple of times,
Be modest about it. Mm-hmm.
You could race your Volkswagen Bug, Frank.
Now you're talking. You know what? I bet that Bug, Volkswagen Bug.
Automatic transmissions, they were three-speed automatic, and you'd start in first gear, and you'd have your left foot on the brake, and you'd have your right foot on the gas, and it'd just take off, and then you bump it, with your right hand holding on the steering wheel with your left in the second gear, and then in the third, and just...
And then you do the hokey pokey?
That's not funny. That's not funny. That's not even funny.
What? Who said what?
You ruined his story. You ruined a good story.
Nobody said anything.
You ruined a good story.
Dr. Doug.
The Dan?
Jumped in.
The Dan? What?
I didn't say
that. Dan, leave the studio right now. Get out. No. So I didn't have the guts to tell my dad until I was about 33, I think. I started telling him there were things. I'm like, there's like one more I need to tell you. And he goes, hey, do me a favor. Quit telling me all these damn stories, all right? You're starting to scare me. I'm like, well, they were a long time ago. don't worry. Mm-hmm. No reason to worry about that. No, I'm not going to drag race any longer. But one time we were coming, Dean Baker and I, we were coming back from a night out. And we're coming up, then it was Carson Road. Coming up the Natural Bridge, and we saw another buddy of ours, Tony Gibbons, and he had a Duster 340, remember?
Oh,
and
I got yeah.
Yeah, I got this very inconspicuous orange Corvette, okay? And so, you know, we flash lights at each other. He's coming the other direction. We head down, you know, Natural Bridge at 1:30 in the morning. I mean, like a bunch of idiots. Literally right by the Bell Ridge Police Station. And we go flying. We're racing. We're flying down, you know, Natural Bridge. And boom, the cherries get popped. The coppers, you know, pop right behind us. And we pull into the second entrance into, you know, a Bell Noor. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. And this guy, Baker, he was a starting quarterback for Normandy back then. He goes, I cannot get arrested. I cannot get kicked off the football team. My mom and dad will kill me. I'm like, oh, you're worried about yourself? My dad will kill me. Don't worry. So the police officer gets out, and he goes to these two guys in the duster, Gibbons and I might have been Jimmy Lee. He's like, you guys can go. Like, they can go.
Whoa.
They can go, right?
And were they losing? Is that why?
Losers go home.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, the Corvette was kicking his butt. So then all of a sudden, yeah, then my buddy Dean Baker goes, officer, can I leave? Because we lived across the street in Bellevue Bakers. He goes, yeah, you can go. I just need to take care of him. I'm like, are you taking me to jail? He goes, oh, no, worse. I'm taking you to your dad.
And you begged him to take you to jail. Give me the electric chair.
I said, take me to jail. Can't you take me to my grandma's house? She just right. Goes, no. I said, my uncle Bill is right there. My uncle, nope. Me, your dad always told us. Your dad told us this is probably going to happen. So he wanted you. So now it's like 1:45. Dean Baker, I mean, it was like his Jesse Owens imitation. He flew across Natural Bridge to his house in W. Baker's. Not a goodbye, good luck, nothing. Bam, he was gone. So
This is how you know who your friends are. This is when you know.
I still see him every once in a while. We laugh so hard about this. So now it's like almost 2:00, right? We're ringing the doorbell. I know I am going to get my butt kicked. And my dad sees me. He's like, what's he ringing the doorbell for? Because the police officer said, he's not supposed to ring the doorbell. And and so my dad's hair is all disheveled. And when he sees the police officer, the look on his face, to this day I can close my eyes and see, it was frightening. The look with the police officer and me, oh, my God.
John, can I tell you one of the reasons I think your dad was upset was because somebody saw him with his hair messed up.
No.
Your dad's hair was never messed up.
No, it was, let me tell you, officer, I can't thank you so much. Thank you so much. And yes,
I'll take it from here.
I promise I will take care of it from here. This will never happen again. What was I thinking? What an idiot. You know, I hope I was.
But I have to tell you something. You had a great, you had, it sounds like, a fantastic childhood, especially teenage years. You did.
No, wait a minute. I want to hear the beating story that he got when he got home. Where's that? Is that happy ending?
No. Let me tell you. I had to wash the Corvette, and then drive it to work, on Monday, because it's summertime. I was working. And I got a Vega stick shift 3-speed with no air.
Oh, that's fun. No, Vega. There's punishment right there. Chevy Vega.
3-speed with no air. Huh?
What a horrible car that was.
Oh, that's a punishment.
I'd rather have the beating.
Yeah, no kidding.
So he, you know, I only was in that for a few days, and then I got a Camaro, because yeah, I was spoiled. I've told our sons, Mimi and I, she grew up in Ferguson, and I grew up in Normandy. I'm like, I wish you would have had an opportunity to grow up when we grew up. I mean, it's just... No BS. I mean, it was just, hey, if you wanted to settle a score, you balled your fist up, you punched each other a couple of times, and then you were laughing about it maybe a half an hour later, okay? But, man, I mean, just growing up where we grew up in North County, and still to this day, so many great people and good things.
I would love to have those kind of stories for, you know, like when I was a teenager. I didn't have that. Yeah, you had a great life growing up. You did, and good for you.
Having a great, I mean, unbelievable grandparents. My mom and dad's parents had passed before I was born. Sam and Christina, and he was, his name was Sidney Sadoff, but in World War I they changed it to George. So how about you go from your given name, your birth name, Sidney Sadoff, Samuel Sidney Sadoff, to Samuel George. And that's why
I think car dealers, I've always thought car dealers are just really interesting people. And they have great stories. I don't remember most things that I hear or see, but I still remember the story you told when your dad found out that you took, I guess, after work, somebody had traded in a Porsche and you decided you're going to take it and drive it. And no, he found out.
I sold my IROC on a Saturday. Oh, and I'm like, hey, somebody, well, give me that Nissan 300 ZX Turbo. Give me that little maroon job with the tan leather interior. I'm going to drive. And it had that dashboard where, you know, the digital dashboard with your speed, with your speedometer. And I can tell you, like it was yesterday, I was picking up Mimi. We were dating. We got to take her to the Blues game. The Blues were to play the Minnesota North Stars. The Blues won 4-2.
Oh, you do have a good memory.
I'm driving, and it's misty. It's November. And I'm driving down the inner belt, and this thing, the rear axle is just slapping. Because, of course, whether it's, you know, misty in the streets or what or not, I mean, I'm going through the gears, and that thing is bump, 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 bump. I'm like, what a piece of crap this thing is. I mean, it really was. It was a piece of crap. I mean, compared to the, no comparison to a Corvette, but even to the Camaro IROC, I'm like, this thing's a piece of crap. You know, so this is about 1983, 84, and I had just got a new radar detector, okay? And so we get to the game. I'm so stupid. I don't know how to lock the import. I didn't know I had to lift the handle to lock it. We come out of the game. We're going to go meet some friends for pizza or something. I mean, the Blues won. I'm here. I look and I see, oh, my God, there's a light where the cigarette lighter should be in my radar detector, my passport radar detector. That just, I didn't have it a week, and it was stolen.
By the way, passport at the time, the best of the best. Made by Escort, the greatest.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, now I'm hot. I am so mad. I end up going to play hockey, you know, and she's in this nursing school. She goes, I'm going with you because I know you're going to get into a fight. I did get into a fight like an idiot, you know, with a buddy of mine, but I was mad. Mad at myself. So what do? I fight. I get into a fight, right? I had a little bit of a temper. So then that's nothing. The next morning, waking up, going across. I was living above the garage at the house, and my dad goes, what's that in the driveway? And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I got this World War II Marine, and I got a Nissan parked in the driveway with my dealer tag, with the dealer his dealer tag on it.
Oh.
I'm like, oh! I said, Dad, I sold my IROC. No, son, hit me one more time. What is it? It's one of our used cars. No, I know it's a, it's an import. It's one of those imports in my driveway, with my dealer tag on the back.
Oh, man.
What the hell are you thinking? He said, you know what? Now you're going to go out, get a screwdriver, take my tag off of there, and you're going to drive it up the road. You're going to park it on the street, on Woodlawn. You're going to park it in the grass. And he goes, don't get it too close to John Woods because he hates those damn imports too. So now, you know, it had already kind of iced up, so I'm this big slope driveway of ours. I'm walking down the driveway trying not to fall, and I'm laughing at myself for being so stupid, but I'm like, what am I thinking? This great American, here I am, I park it. He didn't matter that he owned it. He didn't want a damn import in his driveway at all, ever, you know? So that's my story.
That's not bad. My memory is I thought it was a Porsche. It wasn't a Porsche. It was a Nissan. See? I screwed up. The little I did remember, I messed up.
Yeah, that's okay.
I like a good story, and you've got plenty. And
I drove the Porsche at prom. That's right, my stepdad's Porsche.
Dan's stepdad let him have a Porsche 911 for the prom. That's a great stepdad, right there.
Yeah.
Well, and how old are you? What, 17? How old were you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like 17.
Yeah, you don't put a 17-year-old in a Porsche.
And I drove past Johnny Londoff Chevrolet on 270 heading for the prom. I can't remember where it was, but we were in the car. He said, do not take this on the highway. And we drove past Johnny Londoff doing about 100. I guess.
Is there a bigger deal when you're a teenage boy than the prom? It's such a big deal. It just is. It's just a huge deal. John, do you remember did you take anybody to the prom? I'm sure you did.
So, I think I went to the prom, maybe 2 times in 4 years. I think our senior year, we skipped it a bunch of couples and we just went to a restaurant and, that might have been the year that we got kicked off. A bunch of us got kicked off the football team.
Well, John, you know where we went to eat.
I can't tell you.
Why did you get kicked off the football team?
Well, we posed for a picture in the locker room, and wasn't very appropriate. And,
oops.
Boy, thank goodness there was no internet. With no internet, or you wouldn't be a car dealer today.
How inappropriate.
Coach Holson and Coach Russell, they were not happy. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man.
Did you show your win in the picture? How bad was it? I mean,
so folks, I'm going to tell you what. Give
the answer is yes.
That means yes.
Late tonight, 314-837-1800. No, they were we did that moonshot.
Mr. Yak's. No, we went to eat at Mr. Yak's. You used to go there all the time, right?
That used to be a big deal.
Yacovelli's, yeah.
Unbelievable, Yacovelli's. And the Wishing Well in
Berkeley. John, I want you to say hi to Dr. Doug and apologize to him for eating up half his segment. Go ahead.
Hey, Dr. Doug, how are you, man?
Yo, yo, Jono. How is everything?
What?
It's vet talk.
Your boy Drake, he had retrieved two Canadian geese on Tuesday. It was pretty amazing to watch that.
Quack, quack, quack.
Oh, wow.
2 years.
I want to go watch sometime. I won't shoot anything, but I'll watch.
All right, you're in.
Okay.
I don't think anybody caught the hilarious thing Dan Strauss just said when you said Canadian geese and Dan said quack, 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 eh? Now that's funny.
Well, first of all, a goose doesn't quack. That's a duck.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard geese flying over, and they
idiot.
Oh.
It would be honk, 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 eh?
Yeah.
Idiot.
Hey.
All right. It's time for there. Thank you.
800. Bye bye.
All right, bye, John.
Bye, John.
If we let him, he'd go 3 hours. He's got a lot of stories. Dr. Doug, thank you for being so patient. I'm glad you're in the room again. Let's give you your theme music.
Hit it, if you would, Bruce. There you go.
You have a pet? If you're listening and you have a pet, what?
I think he was about to answer you when you said,
I thought you were asking me. Yeah, I got a pet.
No. The folks that are listening, you got 100 pets. If you're listening, you have a pet. This is your guy right here. Free advice from somebody who has dedicated himself for many, many years to a trade where he gets to take advantage of his love of animals. And my goodness, I don't know of anybody who's ever cared as much about your pet, maybe almost as you do. And that's Dr. Doug. Let me give you the numbers. He's brought to you, by the way, by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. And you can find out more at windowworldst.louis.com. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Ladies and gentlemen, let's make it official. Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, hey, hey. How is everybody today?
Doing great, doctor. How are you?
I am AM in the PM.
Of course you are. I like that you're coming in now.
It's
like
fun. That. It's actually quite nice. Do you like the commish bread I brought you today?
Delicious.
I love commish bread, and I've had it from you before, I think.
Yeah, remember that gentleman that used to come by here? And,
yes.
I forgot his name, but he would bring it to me at the clinic, and then he would bring it to you. And, we
first tasted commish bread in the mid-late 70s.
Uh-huh.
Ben Seidler and his wife, he was an old Jewish jeweler.
Uh-huh.
He used to work, my goodness, he worked at a lot of very well-known jewelry stores in St. Louis. And my wife worked for him at one time. And his wife made, and I'd never heard of it. I didn't know, and I took a bite of that stuff, and I said, what is this? And she was very vehement. That's commish bread. I can't believe you've never heard of it. And so, and she started telling me what's it. And ever since that day, I love commish. Now, there's also a thing called a knish, which is it's like meat in a pastry, right?
Yeah, it can be meat. It can be what they call kasha, which is a grain. It can be various internal portions.
Those are good, too.
Kind of interesting. The commish bread is from Ukraine originally, and it's like a cookie. It looks just like a biscotti. And
biscotti is very, very similar to
cookie. Yeah, it's a little bit denser, bread. I think. When I first saw biscottis that became popular in all the shops and everything, I said, they're selling commish bread, but no.
They're very similar. Very, very similar. All right, we got a couple of calls. If you're ready to go.
I am.
We're ready to go. Let's start with Dan. Dan, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Not you.
Hi, Dr. Doug. I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you, Dan.
Hi, Dan. What you got?
How you doing? Hey, I got a question for you. I got two senior dogs at home. And I got one that's 15 years old, and he's slow moving because of arthritis, and he's starting to look like a skeleton. But we are feeding him well and all that other stuff. He's just losing his muscle mass.
Uh-huh.
But my question to you is that I got an abundance bags of the lady next door. Her puppy died, and she had bags of puppy chow dog food.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, can I feed my adult dogs that stuff?
Well, you know, the problem is that the puppy chow is real high in protein, which isn't necessary typically in mature dogs. Now, if your dog is losing muscle mass, I would talk to your veterinarian first. You're going to get some, if you're not careful, you're going to get diarrhea.
And not, he's going to get diarrhea. Dan's going to get it.
No, not Dan. Oh. Unless he's messing with the dog too much. But when you change and you put so much protein into the diet, you will change the bacterial load in the gut, and that will predispose the dog to diarrhea. So if you want to do it, I mean, conceptually, it sounds like it might be useful for a dog that's that aged and is losing his muscle mass. You might want to know why he's losing his muscle mass or if it's strictly age. So a good examination workup would be appropriate. But then ask your vet, how do I work this into my normal diet for the dog and see if that's going to be helpful to sustain his body mass a bit more than would normally occur. So that's how we do it. Be cautious. Don't jump into it. Talk to the veterinarian. That's the smartest way to go.
Can you take that food to like a shelter or something, or the Humane Society?
Sure,
you shelter can do like to feed what, people, was, like the food pantry.
That's what I was thinking, taking a diet. But I gave him a bowl. He's just old and that stuff. He was like my beagle. They were jumpers all their life, and it just took a toll on their body. And I gave him a bowl of that puppy chow, and he gobbled that stuff down better than he does his the regular senior dog food.
Yeah, I think it's probably pretty palatable. It's just a question of whether, again, it's too what we would call it's too rich for him. It's like, you know, you eat something that's custard, and you go, hey, that's too rich. Same idea. Okay. You're going to mess up this guy's bowel. But, again, use the guidance of your veterinarian, and I bet you might be able to get away with it. So.
Okay, all right, that's what I'll do then, Doc. I appreciate your help, as always.
Thank you.
You guys are the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Dan leaves. A line opens, 855-282-8255, 314-821-0590. Johnny, you're up next. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, Dr. Doug.
Hey, Johnny, how are you?
I'm well, sir.
Good.
I have three questions, if I may.
$15 a piece. No, just kidding. Go ahead.
What's your opinion of glucosamine and chondroitin treats for dogs?
Uh-huh.
And two, this one's kind of maybe a little silly, but one of my four dogs is the daughter of two of my dogs, of a male and a female that had a litter years ago. I kept one of the dogs. And this is just silly, but do you think the daughter and the mother have some sort of symbiotic type of knowledge or feeling that they are mother and daughter since they've been together since the time she came out of the womb? And then thirdly, that very dog that I'm talking about is having a cruciate ligament surgery tomorrow. What do I have to look forward to with that recovery?
So, I already forgot the first question.
I got him.
Okay. All right.
First, I was going to jump to the middle one about the daughter and the mother.
Which I think, by the way, is a great question because I've always wondered about that. Does a dog know, hey, that dog's my dad or that dog's my mother? I don't know that we'll ever know the answer to that, but my guess is, yeah, they do.
Well, I was going to ask you, which womb did they come out of?
What?
Nobody got that.
No. They didn't, because I think it was supposed to be a room, and it was supposed to be a joke, but it didn't work. And how does it feel to die on the radio? We've experienced it, now you have too. No, I do think that a puppy, a dog, knows that another dog is the mother. Maybe not,
they
but
do.
That's what I think.
I believe that, you know, they don't use the same terms we do, but I certainly believe they recognize the relationship. And I've seen that in my own dogs around the house. And I think that's, you know, again, no one knows how to define it, but I believe that they're committed to one another in that relationship. And others could argue otherwise, but I think it's nice to believe that.
Well, what was the first question?
The glucosamine in chondroitin is fine. Very safe. You know, is it always so available and useful? Well, we believe it's useful, and what it does is help build the cartilage in the joint spaces and helps to rebuild in some cases. And you just want to make sure you have a legitimate product, because I imagine there's a lot of kind of junk online But I would, again, the veterinary clinics often have really good quality products that are pretty standardized in their production and manufacturing. So I always trust that better. But yeah, they're absolutely safe and they can be useful. And then finally, your ACL, what are you anticipating? How big is that dog? Would you guess?
Yeah, about 28 pounds, 28, 30 pounds.
Okay. And who's, is it at a general veterinary clinic or is that a specialty clinic?
It's a general veterinary clinic, but it's a specialty doctor that travels, specialty surgeon that travels to clinic, to veterinary offices to do the surgeries in the offices.
Yeah, okay. So as long as you have somebody that really knows the skill, and it's become almost, I won't say it's routine, but it's getting close to a routine procedure for those guys. And there's two or three, even I think there's a fourth method to do that kind of repair. And I can't tell you exactly what to expect, except most of the time, the whatever procedure they're using, most of the time the animals are doing really well after the surgical heal, which is about 7 to 10 days. That's when you have to be most careful because they can actually re-injure themselves. They generally don't bandage them up. They generally want them to be have some freedom and activity. They may direct you to a rehab program, and there are a number of them around St. Louis, and they're excellent. We did it for our dog's knee, and they have something called a water treadmill. So it's a treadmill in a pool, a pool of water that they walk, and that really helps them recover, okay? And then finally, usually it's about, I would say, 6 weeks you should expect. Sorry.
Easy, doctor.
About 6 weeks for a good heal, but it can take longer, and you often see some swelling around the knee that may be permanent, and that's because when they go into the joint to do their work, they actually disrupt tissue to fix tissue. So whenever you disrupt tissue, the body says, I got to fix this and I got to put scar tissue down to make it more stable. So that's a consideration as well. So besides what I've told you, your veterinarian should give you a list of other considerations and watch this, watch that. You're going to want to watch for ridiculous amounts of swelling, any pus discharge out of the surgical site. And that would suggest infection post-surgery. So, but yeah, do it. They're great procedures, and the animals really appreciate it, and they do well.
Remember the girl in the James Bond movie who had an infected knee, pus galore?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Does that help you?
It certainly did. Certainly did, Frank. And Dr. Doug, I'm grateful for your service every week. And Frank, thank you for letting him come on and be a part of it, man. Because even though some people don't call in, there's a lot of knowledge that your listeners gain simply by the other questions that are asked by other listeners. So,
no, that's a great point, because I've always believed that even though you may not have had the question, at some point if you listen enough, they're going to hit on something that you've been worried about or wanted to ask about. That's a very good point. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Johnny. Where should I send that check again?
Oh, another funny joke.
I got two laughs on that one.
Thank you, Johnny. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
There goes Johnny, and that's an open line, too, 855-282-8255, 314-821-0590. Steve is up next. Steve, welcome to Fun.
No, Patrick?
I'm sorry. I looked at the wrong part of the screen. Easy. Patrick, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hello, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Patrick. How are you?
Doing good.
Good.
I got a quick, odd question, but I got a chow mix, and only during the winter time, she produces this very large amount of saliva. It's a big stringy, but in the summertime, it doesn't exist. I was wondering if there's something to do with my dog and weird and the weather and saliva gland.
I wouldn't typically think so. I might think that your dog is exploring. I don't know if you put salt outside or anything like that, but usually when you have the hypersalivation, you check to make sure there aren't tooth problems. But if it's not that, usually it's some kind of chemical irritation or physical irritation. So I would definitely look around and see what the dog's exploring into and what's getting into right now. Of course, you can always have your veterinarian check the mouth cavity and make sure there isn't anything else. But I don't know why. I'm trying to think out loud why.
Is it every winter, Patrick? Every winter, just in the winter?
Yeah, it kind of is. You know, it didn't really click until my wife said something a couple weeks ago. She's like, you know that? Her name's Zoe. Hey, why is Zoe slobbering all the time? And she thinks it's just during the wintertime. And it kind of does seem to be with the cold temperature.
Yeah, I've never heard that. It's interesting. I'll do a little homework, too, but certainly nothing that would be concerning. But, again, I would kind of look around the environment and see if there's anything that's kind of subtle, but a change, or the dog is exploring or licking or chewing on, because those are the kind of things that are going to stimulate that. Okay?
Gotcha. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, bye.
The salt thing makes sense, though, because in the winter, that junk is all, if you think it may just be on the road, but no, it can...
No.
Right. All over them.
It also gets into their paws, and they lick at it and cause sores and irritations, you know, between the digits. So they have to watch out.
I can't believe you didn't give me your other suggestion that you always give callers.
Put them to sleep.
Yep.
Saving that.
Solves that saliva problem.
We don't like to wear things out on this ship. Oh. Saving it. Yeah. I believe Steve is now Steve's turn. Steve, there's a line open too. 855-282-8255, 314-821-0590. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Thank you, Frank, and hello, Dr. Doug.
Hello, Steve.
AM in the PM, as always.
Thank you.
What you got?
Well, I have a little problem because I just had two new tenants move in with me. I share my living space, and they brought three cats.
How many?
There's
three. Okay.
Daphne, Lorraine, and Phyllis. Hmm. Daphne is the oldest one, and she kind of looks malnourished, but she's not. She's just older. Mm-hmm. And the problem I've been having is I have area rugs around the house. And we all work regular jobs, so we're not always here. And we've been finding them pooping on the area rug.
Oh, man.
And
who's this, the new tenants?
Now, see, that's fun. Now, that's fun.
Get them the heck fun. Out of there.
Go ahead. Well, if they were, they'd be old tenants.
Only stool, no urine.
Only stool. Okay. Never urinated on anything.
And you think it's one animal, or you're not sure?
We really don't know. We've never seen it happen. And we pulled a Tim and did a little investigation, and like they all look the same. Uh-huh. So we have no idea which one's doing it or how we can correct it.
Well, one thing I would do right away is take a sample, maybe even a collective sample of two or three materials. Are they using the litter box as well? Somebody's using the litter box, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would assume they all are, but occasionally there's one on the area rug.
Okay, yeah. So I would take that sample and take it into the clinic and make sure there isn't any kind of parasite that's in there. I would assume or presume that it's more than likely has something to do with behavior. These are new cats in a new home, and they tend to do really strange things. So it wouldn't be a surprise that they were picking that out. And I don't know how big, it's an area rug, so I don't know if it's something you could lift up and clean off and move away, or you could find a product that you could use. There's one I always mention called Otoban. You can see it at all the Walmarts, and it comes in a numerous forms, but that seems to help to eliminate the odors that are collected by the first event. So when they poop or pee, they tend to put chemicals in the poop and pee right into the rug, and then it reminds them to come back to that same site. So you might want to try that as an alternative. The only other thing you could really do is kind of leave two of them free and one up, or actually the other way around, two up into a room or something where they're sharing a litter box, and one at a time kind of explore to see which one, when free, starts to do the same thing. And
I'm surprised you let tenants. You're not like me. I wouldn't let tenants with pets stay in my house. It's just different.
But Frank, you don't know how cute these tenants are. There's all kinds of stipulations.
I would go for cute tenants with no pets.
What if they have fish?
What if they what?
What if they have fish? It's a pet. Not going to make any mess.
That's a little bit different. Fish aren't going to mess up his carpet. Yeah.
But they'll increase your electric bill.
They're confined.
You know, the other point I was thinking of is that sometimes when cats are showing dominance, they'll keep one animal that's more subordinate out of the litter box or out of the feed bowl. And it could be that you need to add some litter boxes around. I don't know the layout of your home, but that could also be useful. And then what I sometimes would consider doing is putting those poops on the rug right into the litter box, maybe initially right there, so that the cat gets the idea, well, this is the association I should be working with.
Can I offer another suggestion?
Yeah.
Go buy yourself a motion-activated camera for $49 and stick it on the hallway and position it at the carpet and see which cat's doing it.
And have that one put to sleep.
That's a great idea.
Right. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. I actually was going to say the same thing because he's right. For $50, you can get a decent camera. They're called field cameras, or some of them are in camo because they put them in the woods to know when deer or different animals are coming by. And mm-hmm. It's got an SD card in it. It'll capture lots of photos, and uh-huh. only when something moves in front of it. Yeah, and aim it at that carpet where it seems to be happening, you'll know exactly which cat it is. I think it'd be worth $50 to know, so you know which one to put to sleep.
So we may not have to kill the elder and harvest it for its nutrients.
And then within 30, take the camera back and get your money back.
Or is that the same camera that like Chuck Berry used?
No. they didn't have those back then. He old school camera. Steve, I hope that helps you.
Chuck Berry.
Well, I appreciate it. It helped right. quite a bit.
All right, thank you, Steve. You Thank you. Steve has a very robotic voice, doesn't he? He sounds like a robot a little bit. That's not an insult. It's just that he's got an unusual voice.
He's got a friendly voice.
Like a metallic sort of sound.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you mean.
Now, see, you had to make fun of him.
That's mean.
Mine wasn't mean. Mine was just an observation. You had to take it to another level.
Your fault. You gave me a microphone.
A cat is pooping in my house. I don't know why.
Wow.
Now, that's even meaner. 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. Let's go to Bob. Bob, welcome to 590. The Fan, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hello, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Bob.
Frank.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hey. AM and the PM.
Appreciate it.
Listener.
Thank you. What do you got?
Dr. Doug, I have a question. I have a four-year-old golden retriever who over the last probably three, 4 days maybe has this white mucus-looking stuff coming out of the corner of her eye.
Okay.
And her eye gets really red and bloodshot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times it's not there. Like, she'll go a day and it's not there, and then the next day it'll start coming back out again. Is it the dogs get allergies?
Well, they do, but you would
infection.
Yeah, if it was one eye, it would be less likely.
Would I?
Hair left
one eye. Sorry, one eye.
That's bad. Yeah. If it's one eye afflicted, you would not expect it to be an allergy, because an allergy would be kind of a generalized impact on the animal, right? Why would one eye be allergic and the other one isn't? So I wouldn't think that. If it's one eye, I would think a couple things. First and foremost, there is the tear duct right there in the center, right in the middle side of the eye next to the nose, and that can get blocked or partially blocked and obstructed and could cause what you're describing. And your veterinarian, what they'll do under either, sometimes they don't even need to use sedation, but they have a little device where they can actually kind of flush out that gland. Sometimes they'll want to sedate them to do that. So that would be one logical thing to do. Or if you want to try an ophthalmic ointment, antibiotic ointment for a while and see if that resolves it. And then if you note that it comes back right away, then you probably got to go to the next stage.
I would think you'd have to put an animal. So what kind of animal is going to let you flush out their tear duct? You start messing with their eyes. I can't imagine.
Some do, believe it or not. There's
another. She holds still to wipe it out. To wipe out her eyes.
She may be good to go. Yeah.
There's another weird procedure we use for chronic corneal ulcers, where we actually go and so you've got a chronic lesion, right? And it's on, let's say, the middle of the eye, and you can. What's happened is that surface of the cornea is abraded now. Okay, so it's like a sore in your body, on your arm or something. That top layer of protection is gone. So in many cases, or in some cases, the ulcer doesn't want to heal for some reason. So you have to go in and you have to literally take a needle that's modified and you just scrape across the front of the cornea and you crisscross it back and forth. And it looks like it would hurt like crazy, but a lot of dogs just accept that. And then the whole idea of that is that you take a chronic lesion and you stimulate it to become acute and active, and then the body's immune system gets kind of rebooted. But I only mention it because that's done very often without any anesthesia. And the first time I was told to do it that way, I was being trained, I said, really? You know, because same idea, Frank. I just couldn't imagine standing for
it's
that.
Not just, it's actually a human issue, too. This chronic eye condition, there are people that have.
Sure.
There was years ago, a very, very famous newscaster had a chronic eye, Walter Chronic Eye.
Oh my God.
Thank you,
heaven.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much.
Hey, Bill Bevelin and I are sitting in here, and Bill made a good point. When Dr. Doug was talking about all this stuff, he was kind of talking like this, and Bill said, why is he talking like Delilah? Remember the...
Oh, man. What a horrible show that was. What a terrible show that was. Oh, my goodness, that was a horrible show.
I'm just expressing my feminine side.
Oh, boy.
What was that?
That was a mess.
Bob, I apologize, Bob. Bob, now Bob is sorry you called. What? Yeah, you're sorry you called, aren't you?
Who's that?
Boy, if there was ever a Forest Park public bathroom voice, that's it, Doc. You just nailed it.
I own one of those.
So good luck with that, Bob. I hope that was helpful.
Thanks. I appreciate the information. I'll get taken care of.
Bye-bye. All right, thank you. Bob with two B's, as Limey said. We have Bob with 1-0 call and Bob with two B's. It's a big Bob day here. I don't see. I think we're out of time and out of calls.
I do have a question from a texter, if that's all right.
All right, let's go to the guy who just murdered his wife. Limey, what's the
wife? Wow, man. Wow, that is horrible.
They found right.
Well,
they
know I'm a judge. It's a joke because you don't have a wife. So.
No, there you go. I don't. Is there a place where they do spay and neutering that is cheap or, like, you know, cost-effective? Apparently this guy has a bunch of cats that gets dumped on his land, and he doesn't want them to multiply.
Yes, there are numerous places you can start looking at. I'm trying to remember the name on, get on there and call Humane Society. They do inexpensive programs, but there are a number of other independent programs that will do that as well. Now, very often, if you have cats like that are just running around the area, they're going to ask you to allow them to clip the ear, and they do it under anesthesia, so there's no real issue for the cat. But that way, as the cats are out, if somebody's dealing with feral cats, they know to leave those alone because they're already fixed.
Okay.
And so I think that's a legitimate thing to do. I wish I had a number for him and a name. Quick Fix is one of them. That's a big program as well. Okay.
And it's like funded, I mean.
Yeah, it's funded
by. It's less expensive, funded by the state or something.
Well, it's the state and sometimes it's just private groups that.
Don't you think it's a bad idea? I know somebody who bought a house and the previous owners had been feeding wild cats and they put, isn't that a bad idea?
It is a bad idea in the sense that we never know what those cats are spreading to other domestic cats. So if you have a cat that goes outside part of the day or whatever, he's got to contend with those animals. And if they're spreading diseases that we don't know about, like feline leukemia or FIV is the immunological disease, I mean, it just perpetuates disease that tears our animals down. So I don't think it's a good idea.
We are out of time. I'm glad you came in. I like it when you can come in. You want to do it again next week?
I sure do.
See, we didn't. All right, Dr. Delilah Pernikoff, everybody.
See you next week, everybody.
Thank you, Dr. Delilah. Man, I listened to that show years ago for about 5 minutes, and I just thought, I can't believe this is a syndicated show. Wow. Same with that Dr. Laura. I was on two different stations where they finally just took her off the air because we got more complaints than we did fans. But she's a lot wealthier than we are, so she's doing something right. Look at that time. I can't believe it. I have a good joke for you today, folks. I think you're going to really enjoy it and everything else that goes with the Playhouse. So stay where you are. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
The 590 The Fan app. Download it today in your app store.
KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Tom Roberts. A stunning blow to President Trump today as his own diplomat is admitting everyone was in the loop on a quid pro quo with Ukraine. Ambassador to the European Union, Gordon Sondland, has completed his testimony during today's House impeachment hearing and says he was ordered by Trump to pressure Ukraine into investigating his rival Joe Biden. He said he realized later the White House was also withholding military aid and told Vice President Mike Pence. However, that led to this heated exchange between Sondland and Ohio Republican Congressman Mike Turner.
So the president never told you that. Were tied. So your testimony, his testimony is consistent, and the president did not tie aid to investigations.